April 3, 2023, it's the Watch for Pedro show. for Pedro show. Happy Monday. First Monday of April. I guess we're heading into spring, people. So, right? The first 3 months are gone. God damn, flying by, right? Start off the show with John Coltrane and Cannonball Adderley doing Wabash. And if you know anything about songs, you know there's one called the Wabash Cannonball, but this ain't that. Those guys, they could fucking play anything, right? Bitching inspiration. And you know what's a trip about this? You can hear John Coltrane listening to Cannonball and picking up on his thing. And then reading these, you know, I'm reading one on Alice right now, but I just finished 8 biographies on John Coltrane. And a few of these, they talk about how, in Miles Davis's band, they were, you know, bouncing off each other. The world's a classroom, people. Never stop learning. And then we had Lesson One and the MVM. I'm not certain about this, people, but I got a hunch. That's what it is. The Press of the Press is the name of the tune. And because of those Estonian software engineers and their Skype invention, I got with me. Randolph, you're up in Eugene, Oregon, right?
Correct.
And Graham, you're over in England? What town?
That's buried out in the Fen, so nearest town would be Wisbeach, but on the east coast.
On the east coast.
East Anglia.
Anglia. So it's north of Kent, but it's on that east
right,
side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the next sticky out bit.
The next sticky out bit. Where did I play? Ramsgate? I think that's still Kent, though.
That is, yeah. Yeah, so 80, 90 miles north of there.
Okay, but still a coast town, like a little port town. In fact, that's an old port town. I was reading about Ramsgate. Quite a history. I mean, Jesus.
Mm.
Yeah, quite. And there's cats living there, like Mr. Sherwood, right? Mark Stewart's mixed man, the pop group guy, tackhead guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a little scene there. It was a bitching gig. I played there with Cuz about 8 years ago. I guess there's a train going straight from London there now. Maybe it's going to be a new suburb. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, it's great to have both cats on with each other. I've had you on separately, but you both wanted to come on with this new, well, go ahead. Whoever wants to go first. Randolph, Graham, decide.
Okay, shall I, Randolph?
Yes, please.
Okie doke. So this project, this will sound insane. It's
insane is okay.
Excellent. It's an unsolicited soundtrack that the pair of us have done to a film that doesn't exist, that was thought up by a comic book character in a graphic novel, D.R. and Quince, written by the incredible Alan Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the 80s when we were both a lot younger.
More younger. And I know his 10... comic book series called Watchmen.
That's the man. Yeah.
I got those when they came out, and I dug it.
Oh, brilliant. That guy's a genius. Don't hold the films against him, because he hates them, apparently. Right.
Yeah, well,
so
they kind of leave his hands, right? Fuck, they left his hands probably once they got even published his comic book.
That is pretty much exactly what happened. You won't even see his name on the films, because he's so depressed by what they've done to his ideals and his art that in the end he's now given up doing graphic novels completely because of the way that...
Let me ask you, Graham, when he wrote the spiel, right? He wasn't actually the graphic guy with those.
That's right. He was the script and...
So he's used to working with people, but not like Hollywood bum rush style. Yeah,
artists rather than... what would you call them in America?
Well, man, they were paying those guys $100 a page, illustrators. And they didn't get to own any of it. They make all these blockbuster... movies out of this shit now, and these guys got nothing. They got paid by the pay. It was piecework, like being a seamstress.
Like Little Richard.
Absolutely.
Going back a few days, but
Parchment Farm, yeah.
Yeah.
So, exactly. So go on. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's all right. So, it just came up in our email conversations that we both really liked Alan Moore. Randolph even called his mum liked D.R. and Quince as well.
All right.
Whereas I'm not sure my mum would have been quite so happy. But so, yeah, we decided.
Well, I like my mum. My mum probably would like the idea of superheroes somehow being connected to fascists.
Mm. Yeah, exactly the same thing. But
because, right, this comes out in the 30s. Right, this idea, you just put on the right costume and you're ready for the job, right?
And without getting too dark, we also how that ended up in the forces, didn't we, with the ability for a uniform to somebody take on a completely different persona.
Absolutely.
And do horrendous things that you wouldn't consider doing.
Absolute. Isn't that trippy?
Terrifying that it seems to be happening again as well.
Absolute.
The basis of the actual work itself.
Yeah.
And this is where our two distinct roles sort of become evident, is what was actually used. I'd done an acid techno live set in London, which must have been 99, 2000 or something. And it was all unsequenced and that, so it's messy as anything, you know.
Okay.
It was, and I was probably a little bit the worse for wear under some pharmaceutical or other.
Yep.
As well. So I'd never released it, never sort of edited it or anything, because it was still, you know, it was live.
Yeah.
You've got to leave it as it is, haven't you? But
document.
Yeah, exactly. So that was what happened that night. So, yeah, you don't want to mess with that. And in the end, we did. I passed it up and sent it over to Randolph, and then he disappeared off into the Museum of Viral Memory and whatever witchcraft it is that he comes up with.
That's him, yeah. That's right. The Viral Memory, Museum of Viral Memory, that's what the MVM is in that group name.
That's right, yeah. But, yeah, really, it's all the orchestration. I think we've sort of credited as me more as the composer, which is, you know, in inverted commas, composing. But and then all the orchestration and arrangement by Randolph, which is, I think the equivalent is me running around, running a stick down railings and making a noise in the neighbourhood. And then Randolph being able to turn that into some orchestral music that actually hopefully makes a bit of sense to people.
Yeah. That's a trippy process. Let's play the next hunk you gave me. It's called Corridors of Contemplation.
king's road, passing so many places.
I'm Sledila sam za mašinom, sila sam. Pitali me oficiri čija sam. Ne pitajte oficiri čija sam. Vodite me vaše kući, vaša sam. La 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 la.
Psychiatrist. You know, you nork, you know, you need New York, you nork.
New York, you're mentally ill. Why don't you see a psychiatrist?
You know, you nork, you need, you nork, you know, you need New York, you nork. You know, you know, you need New York, you nork.
Thank you. you're mentally ill.
Why don't you see
a psychiatrist?
Thank you. Mr. Policeman. Perfect timing.
Could spend my life being second to someone, forever and always, some big distraction. Guess the real work has begun. Oh, it's lonely and it's terrifying when you're second to none. I take shelter under a book, cover my eyes from the beauty and the horror. Oh, it's lonely and it's terrifying when you find yourself forever and always first in spring. He was so mad, he couldn't help crying, couldn't understand why she was lying. Oh, it's lonely and it's terrifying when you find yourself forever and always first in the spring.
Walk for Pedro Show, that chunk of music. It started off with Lesson 1 and the MVM. Corridors of Contemplation, Saturn versus Saturn 5, right? People, that's the launch vehicle that got the Apollo 11 to the moon. Versus the Lobster Woman. Then we had Dave Lombardo, incredible drummer man. He made a solo record.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Man, wouldn't you like that cat drumming in your band?
Oh, any day of the week.
Yeah, but he's one of the most. And this is him, you know, doing a drum. It's so trippy about drums, you know. It's such a beautiful instrument, but where it's been relegated in the minds of people with this hierarchy shit, you know. Anyway, this Separation from the Sacred, brand new. Dan Hahn after that, Part-Time Punks. This was off a compilation where, what was that England band, TV Personalities. They had a song, right? Part-Time Punks. Deer Hoof, they got a brand new album. The first time they recorded in a studio. And this tune, the bass player's singing all the lyrics in her native Japanese. Sit down, let me tell you a story. And then Culture Shock, they're back. The Seamstress and the Officers. Although, that's not a new tune. Because I ain't got it yet. It hasn't come out. But I heard they got stuff coming, so I played something from a couple years ago. This band, I don't know if you're a fan of Balkan music, people, but man, is it wild. It is wild. That place has got such different things colliding into each other. You know, it's beautiful. Brian Woodsberry, Variety Orchestra, after that with Mentally Ill. Frank Chickens, Looking for Me. This is the stuff off the TQ UKR compilation benefit for the Ukrainian situation. I've been playing the last 3-4 episodes and we've got some more here. Argument Club with, that's Frank Chickens, Looking for Me. And then Argument Club with Dinner on the Ship James. That's from that too. Maxine Funka, First in Spring, brand new from Disciples. And the Lesson 1 in the MVM, Museum of the Virtual Memory, people. 5100 Confusions. Okay. Randolph, you want to pick up from where Graham left off?
Sure. We essentially, each of those, we both had incredibly fond memories of, and Graham had even, Rick had even suggested when I mentioned DR and Quinch in an email that the Lesson 1 had always wanted to do a soundtrack for Mind the Oranges, Marlin, which is a classic DR and Quinch serial from 2008, from I think around like early 80s, 83, somewhere in there.
It's a breakfast cereal?
No. So DR and Quinch, so 2008 is the magazine America We Know It Best for Judge Dredd.
Oh, you're talking cereal, like comic book series. Okay.
Right, like a comic. So it was a comic that was serialized in 2 or 3 pages.
Okay.
Of 2000 AD over the course of like 2 months. Okay. So,
understood. As serialized, like it's put in installments.
Right. Yeah. When Lesson 1 said, you know, always had this idea of doing a soundtrack for that. From there, we just kind of started throwing around ideas. Lesson 1 sent over the Techno Acid files, which we transposed essentially.
And this is from that performance in the late 90s, right?
Yeah.
So in a way, it got kind of repurposed.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Because we transposed that for...
Which we should tell the listeners.
All the different instruments.
We should tell the listeners, this is good proof that you shouldn't throw anything away, because you don't know. It might be very valuable. without you realizing it.
Yeah, record everything, that's, lose nothing.
Yeah, there's this kind of a tradition I was reading about in the old days with Jewish writing. Like anything written down, you got, even if it's just some like a grocery list, you got to keep it because all writing is sacred. And because of that shit, the anthropologists have got quite a good stuff to work. They found one of these Genisa. It's called a Genisa in Cairo. And it's a trove of stuff for archaeologists. But then here, too, where you guys are putting together.
I'm gonna go the other way. I think the audience should just don't record anything. Just throw it all away. You know, hey, you don't need all that junk in your life. Just keep on getting on and shit. You're not gonna go back and listen to it.
No, but some other dude might.
Yeah, well, fuck them.
I'm actually working with the Tape Loop stuff at the moment under a new pseudonym, just solo, actually, Randolph, that I recorded when I was at the music college about 20-odd years ago. So, I am going back to
what I'm thinking of is, like, things make different sense down the road that you could have never imagined might happen.
Yeah, but they'll always be enough. I don't want to spend the space and the time, and you know, there'll always be lots of the past clinging to you.
Okay.
And I'm an anti-archivist in that sense. I don't have any of the past. It's out there. Somebody's got it. I don't need to worry. Let them worry about it. Or it's not out there. Who cares? There's enough out there. World doesn't need me or you or.
Okay. Let's get this anchored to some kind of foundation, some kind of reality on the dealio. We're talking about a work here, and we're talking about origin story. So there is some kind of relevance. You guys did use something from the past. I'm not like trying to evangelize that people should be making works out of old stuff. I'm just trying to get a handle on understanding where this thing came from.
Right. Well, and I'm just being contrary because that's what the Museum of Viral Memory does.
We took
some old techno and made it into a classical music soundtrack.
Yeah.
That illustrates an old comic strip that we. Both our organizations just absolutely love. And the comic strip, probably intentionally, because Alan Moore is just such a badass cat that seems like everything he does is intentional. The comic strip is essentially doubles as a storyboard. So basically every panel is what you see in the film, and that's kind of revealed at the very end of the series.
Yeah.
So it was really, that was just a blessing for us that the way that this had been designed by Moore and drawn by Alan Davis was essentially a storyboard. So, for instance, each of the titles comes from just as any, like a lot of classic soundtrack albums, it tells you it's the title of the scene. It's what's happening in that scene, or the 50-11,000 confusions is a line from a particular scene in the film. Corridors of confusions and Saturn V versus Lobster Girl, that's from the background of a scene. Where you see a robot that reminded us of the old, I think it was a Farrah Fawcett film, a sci-fi film, Saturn V, about a robot that goes rogue, and a lobster girl, like a dancing lobster, rocket. And so we tried to imagine what music would be accompanying these scenes, which piece of the techno set, when transformed, might be what that what Bernard Herrmann would have used to score, or maybe more relevant right now, Ryuichi Sakamoto. What would he have written for that scene?
Well, personally, I can tell you a situation the Minutemen was in. This guy was going to film school, USC, and he made a movie called Hell, a like 15-minute movie for his class. And he asked us three to, set up in the practice. It was Sacramento Trust practice pad in Wilmington. And she literally showed the film on the bulkhead, and we tried to interpret it in real time as we were watching it for the first time. Just tried to play to it. Were you guys trying to do that?
No, not really. Since everything we do, I guess in a sense, since we're working from a comic book, we would look for scenes, like which panels make a scene. And at a certain point, we were bouncing back and forth with lesson one. With these panels are this scene, and these panels are this scene. So we're working more from a storyboard. So we didn't certainly we would be spending a lot of time looking at those scenes in that storyboard.
Uh-huh.
But because it's a comic, there's nothing there, and also because we're working in MIDI.
Yeah.
So there are no real instruments.
Right, it's like instructions.
We're sitting in front of a computer looking at the complete D.R. and Quinch graphic novel, which is just paste, weighted open to the particular page we need. So in the sense that it's music that responds to images, it's the same as y'all did.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like, we're not involved in any real time improvisation
or
creation,
right?
Because things are it's deeply, deeply edited and
sure.
might be made.
Well, we were trying to be in the moment and trying to capture a reaction. Yeah, I see the big difference. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, April 3, 2023. Dish Wap Peters, our special guest, Randolph and Graham from, Lesson 1 in the Memory of Virtual Museum of Virtual Memory, Whole Time Hour 2. April 3, 2023. It's the second hour of the Watch for Pedro show.
In den Nacken. Unknown.
Don't like that.
Thank you.
For Pebro Show, start off the second hour, lesson one in the Museum of Virtual Memory, doing Close the Curtains, Jeffrey Amphibious. Reverie, parentheses. Then we had Alexander Hack from his big old piece. This part is called Zuden Andrin Geralt Verden, and it's about an imaginary young man in Berlin. Chaz Smith after that with the End of Cognizance. Pedals. Well, he makes instrument, his own handmade instruments, too. Very interesting cat. Yeah, my Sonia de Marinaio bandmates would call this Niagara, but we know it as Niagara. And this is piece number 11. And then finally, lesson one in the Museum of Virtual Memory with Stellar's Thane. Okay, you got something to say about these sections. Well, the way I'm playing this, is it in the right sequence, or does it matter? Okay.
We sent it to you in the correct sequence, I imagine. And it sounds like it's the right sequence. I don't have the playlist right in front of me, and we finished it a little while ago.
Yeah.
Although it's being premiered on your show. It hasn't been released. Nobody's heard it.
Wow. You hear that, people? This is the first time it's out here. Thank you so much, Randolph. So when does it come out?
Now there's the question.
Oh, okay.
That would be disgusting. We haven't... Soon.
That was the big question.
Yeah, okay. We did do one physical copy.
Yeah.
Which we I posted over here because Alan Moore's based in Northampton in the UK.
Okay.
He had no online presence at all. Because he's got more sense than most of us. But I had to track his agent down in London, who we then passed the CD on to, and then assumed that's gone on to Alan Moore. But we haven't heard anything back, and that was in January. So we're seeing that as a tacit green light to be able to do this stuff. And hopefully he was as bemused when it arrived as I was hoping he would be, for this unsolicited soundtrack to an imaginary film that one of his characters in a book that he wrote, you know, 4 years ago had suddenly popped through his letterbox. But as I say, we might hear, we might not, but that just adds to the joy and the mystery of it all to me.
Yeah. The chain reaction of creation through artistic art expression.
Exactly, and all those unexpected little digressions we get from doing that sort of thing. And I mean, even if it just brought the old work back to his mind for an hour, then yeah, that's a nice thing. And I think the pair of us, as I say, we loved it so much. It's certainly been a work of love for us. So it's fulfilled its own destiny by that. So we will be releasing it so other people can hear it. But as it stands at the moment, yeah, there's one physical copy floating around Northampton somewhere. And your show's the only time it's been heard outside of either the museum or over here in the on the small holding.
Okay, and I'm playing 11 parts. Is that all there is? Is there more, or am I playing all the whole enchilada?
Is the whole from start to finish, I think, isn't it, Randolph?
No, I don't think so. I believe there were maybe two or three tracks. I think it ended up being 13 or 14 tracks. So I remember thinking it's a shame that Mike won't be able to play the final tracks that day, but I should
and the reason for that, I'm
gonna send those to you later today so you can play them some other time.
And so the reason for that, they weren't completed yet.
They were completed, but since you usually play 11 tracks and there were like 13.
Well, you know the next show is Wednesday, so I'll play those fuckers Wednesday.
Okay, I'll get them to you after
this. Because, man, that's a real dick tease, right? You give them everybody everything except the fucking summation, the fucking wind-up, the closer, man.
Now you're essentially selling the contrarian in me on not sending those guys.
Because I was going to say, that's like taunt with capital letters.
Yeah.
Well, you'll never know about the nuns, the fish, and the oranges, Mike. But I've just had a quick look, and there's actually 17 tracks, Randolph. We're busier than I thought we were.
Okay, so give me those other six in, please. And I want to play right now The Bully and the Fop.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. That's Chart of Music. Start off The Bully and the Fop, Lesson 1 in the Museum of Virtual Memory. After that was Lednik Frontier, Prospect. It's the tune. This is from that Ukrainian situation benefit comp. A Fence Post, Declension, I Ruin, I. Maybe one, two, Roman numeral. Hedda Kagan with We Will Prevail. And then the next in this treatment of Mr. Moore's work, Lesson 1 of the Museum of Virtual Memory with Homo Hubris, Fuhurudu. And, off air I was saying, you know, this title, The Bully and the Fop, and this had to have some England influence because it reminded me of this time when I was helping Jay Maskus, I think it was called the Wedgwood Rooms or something in Portsmouth, which tripped me out because I'm born in parts of Virginia, but this is the one in England that had a replica of the Golden Hind that Mr. Drake ran around the world with, tiny little boat. And, yeah, I saw a picture. These guys dressed kind of new romantic. Someone wrote Ponce all over their faces. And so I asked the boss, the man who ran in the place, what's his Ponce? And he goes, look at it again. So, okay. So maybe Fop's up there with Ponce, right? Or
yeah,
down there.
Around about the same, yes.
Yeah, it's not. You probably don't want to focus your career on that kind of end game.
But no, certainly not.
But there's a narrative, right? These they're not. I mean, you guys looked at them as separate little scenes, right? And where did you know where to draw the line? How many panels make a scene without losing track of the whole narrative?
Since we were treating it as a storyboard, it was, I guess if there were large time changes, if a conversation was taking place across panels, that would be a scene.
Okay.
If a new conversation started in a different room, indicating like a cut. So it was just kind of, I think, intuition. Maybe that comics are, in a sense, a language that certainly our generations have been speaking our entire lives. And so just kind of letting Alan Moore and Alan Davis tell us in their language with the images. I think it was pretty clearly communicated in the comic.
Yeah, it seems like both are valid ways, like a series of panels or sometimes the whole situation in one fucking panel, right? A deep one.
Right. Yeah, some of those are entire scenes. I think Saturn V versus Lobster Girl.
Yeah.
Is a single panel.
Because that's that's the thing about images versus text. You can have all kinds of shit going on a lot of levels in parallel universes.
Right, and we were trying to read this as a storyboard.
Right. There's a narrative. There's something that's traveling through all the panels. Right. A beginning, a middle, and an end.
We tried to build in leitmotifs and themes like a regular film would. It really is designed to be a soundtrack for a film. For instance, there are opening and closing panels. So there's several pages at the beginning and several pages at the end that they set up the story and
like prologue, epilogue.
Exactly, and they're not included because they happen before and after.
Right.
One of the characters has a camera. So our soundtrack starts, the press of the press is the moment in the comic strip where Quinch, one of the two lead characters of the comic strip, DR and Quinch, Quinch's and DR are going into a film studio and the press, all of these reporters are pushing to interview them, and Quint punches one of the reporters in the face and takes his camera.
Whoa.
And starts just filming what's around them. And for the next, I think, 9 or 12 pages, you always see Quint kind of just filming in the background.
Yeah.
And then it turns out in the final couple pages that the film is actually, that they release is the footage that Quint shot, and none of the footage that they had spent hundreds of millions of dollars with cinematographers trying to get. All of that, and they're just doing this handheld stuff that Quint was shooting.
Yeah, human. The best laid plans of men, right? Folly.
Right.
Folly.
Yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour, April 3, 2023, edition Wap Peters with special guests Randolph and Graham. Hold tight for hour 3. April 3, 2023, it's third hour of the Wap from Peters show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
for Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with lesson one in the Museum of Virtual Memory, doing Yeti, the snow guy, right? Loves dragon. And then the owl. This is from that benefit. I think the owl's on there twice because this is a second tune. Disorientation through violent and hypnotic sonic attack. The Wyndham Research Institute with IR57, note 7, dark side. Tony Van Dorst, Not My Anthem. And then back to less than one in the Museum of Virtual Memory. Cerulean Submarine. Okay. Off air, people, I was asking, ran off of Graham about they knew, were hip to ZBS or ZBS.org. ZBS Media was something from the early 70s. They make these things called the My Movies. And, I played a lot on the show here, Adventures of Jack Flanders and stuff. Usually the theme is some self-realization. They know the answer at the beginning. They just have to go through all this shit to prove to themselves that it's worth thinking about. So they're intense pieces. Please go on with talking about your work here, guys.
Well, I'm also want to just mention, I think Big City Orchestra also, they have been doing for, I think it's their UB Radio Salon, which they do a kind of a experimental improvised radio theater as well, and I think they've been doing it for 15 plus years now, so that's also worth checking out.
Randolph, is there a URL?
Looks like. Yeah, it's on, the show's on archive.org.
Oh, yeah, yeah, great resource.
/details/UB Radio_Salon. The most recent episode is Salon 785, it looks like, so _Salon 785. But if you go to archive.org and look up UB Radio Salon.
Uh-huh. How did you meet these cats?
It's also aired on dfm.nu, it looks like.
Okay. How did you meet these cats?
Well, so I've never met the folks from Big City, but up in Salem, Oregon,
yeah.
Austin Rich, who's a part of a bazillion bands and radio theater, and actually has a Mid Valley Mutations live festival coming up.
Yeah.
Austin is a part of the Radio Salon with the Big City Cats, so
that's your connect. Yeah,
Austin always sends out little, yeah, we get weekly updates on what they're doing.
And I'm
and
curious,
we should definitely
go ahead, Greg.
Richard should tell us about TQUKR.
Yeah, of course, because we're playing a lot of that the last 3-4 episodes. I ended up playing every tune off there. I love this stuff. And it's a great cause.
And thank you for that, Mike.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got together and the response was overwhelming. TQ over here are a sort of a modern version of a zine, a blog. And they were putting together a fundraising issue. And Quentin, who runs it, he asked me if I'd... had any ideas as to for anything to do, and I said, well, I can see if I can get a compilation out, and it just spawned from there. And as you know, you sent that beautiful track with Ewan Thurston, and
Like a Ghost on Fire.
Brilliant. Yeah, I can't remember the lady's name. I'm just a
Talia
bracket. Thank you.
Yeah.
And Bobby Lees as well. They came straight back and sent over that.
Yeah, I've been playing other track. Bobby Lees stuff too. That's a great band.
Oh, they've given me a bit of faith in the future of music, if that doesn't sound too much.
No, it's happy.
Because it's been so long since I've heard a band that I could be truly excited about as a band, if you see what I mean, with the
sure.
more traditional.
Sure.
And, yeah, and they straight back, I got the email straight back from It's the two ladies in the band I've had a bit of contact with, but they were, yeah, please do pop it on. And yourself and Thurston, of course, and another one which really pleased me no end was Justin Broadrick of Godflesh fame.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the bands that initially, you know, when I was 14, I bumped into Godflesh. That was like, this is what I want to be doing, making music.
Right.
And then, yeah, he responded immediately, sent over that brilliant track of his more dark ambient stuff. And we've had a few other likes. Lednik Frontier, that you played earlier, he's actually a musician who was based in Russia.
Okay.
So we've got Ukrainian musicians on there, as well as, you know, UK, America, and just so many people came together. And yeah, it's been a year now somehow since all that nonsense kicked off, and it's just a little bit that we've all been able to do, I think, just to not only raise a bit of money, because all the money from it's been going to the Red Cross for the Ukraine appeal, but for me, and I think for a lot of other people's, it's just a finger in the eye of, you know, Putin and that whole horrible fascist war machine that seems to be rising again out of the ashes of, you know, the early to mid part of last century, because people don't fucking learn.
Right, history.
My French.
No, history repeating itself is farce.
Oh,
as somebody once put it. Yeah.
Yeah, and as Randolph was saying, you know, there's a lot of musicians who we were both in contact with got together, and some other musicians who I'd never even heard of found out about it, you know, via third parties.
Well, that's how it happens. That's a trip, right? It's about people. People meeting
people. Exactly. So, yeah. And we're still generating a bit of money from it, but because it was a limited edition release and you only got the download code
with the
actual sign, obviously that's not limited it, but it sort of made it a very exclusive release. And thankfully it generated a lot of interest, and yeah, we've been able to pop some money over to the Disaster Emergency Committee appeal at the Red Cross, and, you know, just trying to mitigate what we can of this unnecessary and criminal sufferings being foisted upon people. And just like the rest of us, I think people just want a quiet life, but then there's a dozen absolute lunatics in the world who don't want anyone to have a quiet life.
Yeah.
And here we find ourselves. But we've done a couple of other little projects as well that have basically all the less than one releases in the 12 months, all the money generated to those has gone over to that appeal, apart from the latest one that Malady of Knots and Fence posted, where the money went over to the Turkey and Syria Earthquake Relief Fund as well.
Yeah, that was another, that was nature, but there's going to be hells, and when we can rally and come together to help, that's happened. I want to play you guys' interpretation of Mr. Moore's work here. I know it's not the final ones, because you're going to get those to me so I can play Wednesday, but the final ones I got of this edition. Close the curtains.
Thank you. head through the drop.
Oh,
Watch for Pedro Show last music for this edition. Close the curtains, started it off. Jeffrey, I'm Amphibious, The Dream Sequence, Lesson 1, and the Museum of Virtual Memory. Samuel Locke Ward, Bad, Bad Man after that. Modular Art from Zarex, Zabatix, and Arthur Harrison. And finally, Lesson 1 and the Museum of Virtual Memory with Silly Straw Close-Up While the World Burns. Okay. And so, I can't wait to hear the next six. So you send them to me when we get off the air here, Randolph, please.
Yes, I will.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So, and what's the next plan? Is there another plan for like a further? Could you guys find yourself reimagining Watchmen?
No.
Okay. So.
But we do. We do have something that's ready to release pretty soon, The Unwinding Hours.
Okay. When you get that done, will you come back on the show? We can play it and talk about it?
More than happy to. Mike, it's ready to go now. We just finished the okaying of the final masters, got the cover ready, and... For this one, again, I went back through my archives and another load of old acid techno tunes I wrote when I was at the music college in Leeds in 2000. And one of my colleagues up there, who will remain nameless for obvious reasons, I managed to pick up his MC303 for £30 and an eighth of weed. And... the best £30 and eighth of weed I've ever spent, and I spent 6 months learning how to use that and making all these, by these day standards, quite simple acid, sort of like acid house, acid techno tunes, and they never were released. So this time we delved more into the Sinister Overlook Hotel of Shining fame for our inspiration with this one.
Yeah.
And, the staff at the museum have worked wonders with this, but we've worked with a very, very restricted music palette for this one, but including the Bode Saw to get that sort of theremin-esque sound. So we're ready to terrify everyone with the nightmares of a pseudo-live set in the Gold Room in the Overlook Hotel.
Well, please bring, okay? But give me all the parts. Let's play the whole thing. That's only people hanging.
We will send you the whole thing, and we can come on and talk about these particular nightmares.
Yeah, either June or July, this summer, people. Okay? Thanks so much. Yeah, I want to thank you both. I love what you're doing, man. And by any means necessary, right? Old stuff, new stuff, repurposed stuff. Just bring it, because I think you guys got righteous imaginations, and I'm very inspired myself.
Oh, that's nice of you to say so, Mike. And ultimately, even though Randolph and I are completely diametrically opposed with archive versus non-archive.
Yeah.
Now we've got to this, we've gone full circle, it's been released, and I can... get rid of that from my archive because it's been repurposed and it's out there somewhere. And so we're
right. It's now in our museum, which is essentially an archive. So it's now our problem, not his.
Exactly. So,
yeah. It's great. I love it. Love you guys. Can't wait to have you back on. People, it's been April 3, 2023 edition. Why Peter should kill your powder dry.